grace, mercy, and peace be yours through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. Amen. As I mentioned, the gospel lesson for today, Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27, are the sermon text for this morning. That parable of Jesus about the minas in Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed. It used to be fairly common that sons would follow their fathers and in their footsteps. It used to be a familiar phrase. Well, he's following in his father's footsteps. And it wasn't talking about, walking through a field somewhere and, making a path through the standing grain or through the drifted snow. It wasn't talking even about, following the pastimes that the father enjoyed doing, whatever hobbies that might be, or maybe some sports, or maybe hunting or fishing or whatever. No, it was referring to the fact that the child, the son, would all too often also follow in dad's footsteps as far as the career choice was concerned. So you'd regularly see, maybe up on the wall of the building where the business was located, or maybe on the sign painted on the outside of the truck or the trailer or maybe the car that they used for their business, it said Jones and Son for carpentry or electrical or plumbing or whatever it was. And you automatically knew that this wasn't just, the kid was tagging along. It was in fact that the father and the son worked side by side in whatever business that was. So dad wasn't just passing on the family name, he also passed on the family business. Not so much nowadays, right? A lot of times sons will do something completely different than what their father did. Not so with Jesus. From the time he was born, in fact, even before he was conceived, all the way to the end of his life, Jesus was in his Father's business. It was God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, and the Son, the second person of the Trinity, in business together. Jesus even said that, right? Remember that? 12 years old. He's in the temple. His mother and stepfather are so worried because they can't find him as they were heading back to Nazareth, wondering where their child was. And they finally, after 3 days looking for him, find him in the temple. To which Jesus says then, "Didn't you know I had to be about my father's business?" Born and laid in a manger. One who lived a perfect life and then went all the way to a cross on Calvary's Mount outside of Jerusalem. Every step of the way doing the Father's business. At his baptism, at his transfiguration, God the Father, from a cloud from heaven, declared, "This is my Son whom I love." The things that he does and says are my business that he is carrying out. And when crucified, the first word from the cross and the last word of the cross each begin, "Father, forgive them, and into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus was doing the family business. Why? To make you and me members of his family. That's something that just should shock and amaze every single one of us. That God, out of His undeserved love, called us into His family, made us sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, so that we are privileged to pray in that prayer that Jesus Himself taught us, our Father. And, as members of God's family, He's also called us into the family business. Yes, yes, that's right. It's all about your Father's business that you and I also are called on to do. Because each and every one of us, by a simple fact that He called us to faith in Jesus as our Savior, makes us part of His workforce. And that's the point of Jesus' parable today. We're told while they were listening to this, He went on to tell them a parable because He was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. Remember, Jesus is on that last leg of His work doing the family business for His Heavenly Father. He's there in order to go up to the cross on Calvary's Mount, to bring for us that gift of salvation that you and I could not gain on our own. And going up to Jerusalem, there were plenty who had a misunderstanding of why this journey was so important. Had no concept of His impending sacrifice upon the cross. What kind of a kingdom He had come to establish. And how each one of them was to be a part of that by trusting in Him. So Jesus plies a parable once again. He says, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. Who's the nobleman? It's Jesus. He was going to be crowned as king. After His work at Calvary's cross, He would ascend into heaven to be seated at God's right hand, to take up once again that power and authority that He possessed from eternity as the second person of the Trinity. And then He would come back, as He has promised, on the last day, when He will judge the living and the dead. But in the meantime, He has entrusted 10 minas to His 10 servants. That's you and me. But what is it that Jesus has entrusted to each and every one of us equally? There's another parable that Jesus preached that sounds very similar to this one. It's the parable of the talents. And there we use the word not only to refer to a sum of money, but also we talk about that. We use that terminology to refer to some of the characteristics, qualities, abilities that you and I have been given to live and work in this world. There, in that parable, Jesus talks about a variety of different talents that are given to each one, you know, whatever those things might be. Here Jesus talks about one single thing that is the same for every single one of us. What is that? It's the gospel. God has given to us, through Christ Jesus, His own dear Son, that Word of God, the gospel in word and sacraments, the good news about a Savior promised and fulfilled in Jesus Christ, to proclaim to the world. Didn't Jesus Himself say to His disciples, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation? Didn't He command His disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them? That wasn't just to pastors, or to teachers, or to called workers. That is something He has given to each and every one of us. The Apostle Peter tells us, But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God has given to you that treasure of the gospel by which you have come to faith in Jesus, and which he also calls on you now to share with others. It's not something that you and I deserve or have earned in any way. We're all ones who have fallen short of God's glory. We don't deserve anything from him but his eternal wrath and punishment. But it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And he calls on us to carry that also all the way throughout the world to all other people. And that includes each and every one of us. We have been entrusted with that treasure and called on to invest it in the lives of others, to put it to work, to do the family business in calling others to faith in Jesus as well, with the power of the gospel. How do we do that? You may not realize it, but every time that offering plate is passed, that's an opportunity for you to invest in the gospel. To seek to share that good news with others by supporting the work of spreading God's word here at home, but also throughout the world. Next Sunday is Mission Festival, where we will especially focus our attention on a greater outreach and opportunity to share the gospel with people throughout the world. Some of that information you've got now already, because I wanted you to have already an opportunity to think about and to actually have information about that work of sharing the gospel like Jesus calls on us to do here. We do it at home when we share the gospel with our children, parents, incorporating that into their daily activities, encouraging them to memorize parts of God's word so that they can have that to carry with them wherever they go. And did you notice in the bulletin, for how many weeks already have you been doing your memory work? Hello? 9 weeks already. Do you have those passages memorized yourselves? I didn't put that in there just to waste ink. That's a part of the work that you and I can do, not only for ourselves, but others also, in sharing the gospel. Putting that not only in our brain box, but also letting it work through our lives so that we can serve as salt and light in this world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus encourages each and every one of us. That's going to be through our words, our actions, our interactions with others on a regular daily basis. Family, friends, neighbors, work associates, relatives, and so on, showing what connection we have with our Lord Jesus, so that they too might hear the good news about Jesus. And we do that out of a believing heart, trusting in the one who has given us that treasure. Why? So that we might also contribute to the cause. Listen to what happens in our text. We're told that he was made king and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money, in order to find out what they gained from it. The first one came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 10 more. "Well done, my good servant," the master replied. "Because you've been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more. See, See, the thing is, the master didn't give them the money as some kind of a, I don't know, something to stick in their bank account, something to make them rich. He said, no, go and use this in conducting business for me. And the first servants did that very thing, just like you and I are called on to do as well. See, and the thing that Jesus doesn't mention, but the something that you and I already know, is that when we speak the gospel to others, when we speak God's word to other people, it will have an effect. In fact, Isaiah says, when he's talking about the word of God, he says, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. There's a promise attached to God's word. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It's not just a dead letter. It's got the power of God behind it. And so it will have a result. Not because of our efforts. Psalm 115 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. See, it's the word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know what the two-edged sword was back in Jesus and Paul's time? It was the most powerful and potent weapon in the arsenal of the army. What's the most powerful weapon we have today? The atomic bomb. Guess what? God's word is even more powerful than that. Because it goes to differentiating, dividing between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That's substantial. That's all powerful when we speak God's word to do its work. Jesus refers to it as the power of the keys. Okay? You know what a key does? It locks or it unlocks. Just like you and I have been given the privilege, the responsibility to lock or unlock heaven by forgiving or not forgiving sins. Amazing power that God has placed in our palms to do his work. Carry on the family business. One servant came and said, Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow. This guy just sat on it. Didn't do a thing with it. Stuck it away in a hanky that he should have been using to wipe the brow of his head from the sweat that he was using, that he was putting forth, because he was doing the work that the master had given him to do, like the other two. But he didn't. He had such contempt and was so wicked and lazy, unfaithful, he didn't want to do anything for his master. And it's the same in the Christian church today as well. There are plenty who have been entrusted with the responsibility of preaching and teaching God's word and failed to do that as God has commanded. Aren't interested in that kind of thing, either neglect it or exchange it for something else that seems to be more, exciting, entertaining, enjoyable, something that will attract attention rather than work the work that God has given us to do. What about you and me? Do we recognize that God has given to us that treasure also to use on a regular basis to make the most of the opportunities and and situations whereby we can share the good news with others. And I'm not talking about just pastors and teachers, but I'm talking about common ordinary people. You and me involved in investing in that family business that God has called us to be. So if Jesus came back today, what could you point to that in fact would show how you have invested that treasure of His Word and the returns that you have gained for your Lord and Savior? I think if we're honest with ourselves, all of us would have to say we have not measured up. We have not taken advantage of all the opportunities that we could or should have done in order to share God's Word with others. For that, we ask the Lord's forgiveness, recognizing that by His mercy, He already sent His Son to suffer and die, yes, for even those kinds of failures and shortcomings. And with that certainty of our salvation and the forgiveness that Christ has won for us, now we ask, what will we or are we willing to do to improve, to upgrade, to in fact make better use of the opportunities, the situations and resources and blessings that He has given us for the good of His kingdom? As we continue to hear and grow in God's Word and the use of the sacraments, and make that gospel a part of our daily lives in all that we say and do, so that we might use our wealth, our time, our treasures, our talents to do the family business instead of making up more excuses of why we can't or won't do, as that one servant wound up having. Because finally, it's faithfulness that is all important, isn't it? Remember what the master said, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back I could have collected it with interest?" Then he said to those standing by, "Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away from him." Remember the two servants? The first two were commended. "Well done, good and faithful servant," the master replied. But to that wicked servant who wanted nothing to do with the family business, "Take it away. Take it away and give it to the one who has the work in mind to do for his master." And I think the message is clear, isn't it? Use it or lose it. And certainly we don't want to lose that treasure, the gospel that God has entrusted to us. But that means then that we have to redouble our efforts to do the work that God has called us to do. Not because we're going to earn some reward, but to recognize what a gracious and wonderful gift He has given to us, especially in the promised inheritance of eternal life and salvation in Christ Jesus. So may each one of us then make the most of the gospel while we still have it. Seize every opportunity that God gives to you to share that good news with yourself, with your family, with your relatives, with neighbors and others, so that we may grow together and share that treasure entrusted to us now while we have the opportunity. That's the business that God has called us to do. May we be about His business always. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.